I cover my face, sobbing into my hands, and then Realm moves into the chair with me, wrapping his arms around me.
Whoa,
I hear Shep say, sounding nervous.
What's wrong with you, Sloane?
She's fine, Realm says quickly, rubbing my upper arm as I cry into his shoulder.
Doesn't look fine, Shep answers.
I feel Realm tense, but then he sighs.
She just missed me a bunch, right, sweetness? He says jokingly. It must have been tragic sitting here with you guys for 3 days.
They scoff, but I feel the tension leave the table.
Come on,
Realm says, helping me stand up. I'm too embarrassed to look at the guys, so I keep my face hidden against his shirt.
Game's done for tonight.
Aw, man,
Derek yells, and I hear the smack of his cards on the table. Realm doesn't respond and leads me out into the hall and toward his room. By the time we get there, the tears have stopped, and I feel a little more in control, although still empty.
Come hang out with me? He asks.
I nod, and he smiles, sneaking me into his room. I'm sitting in a chair by Realm's bed as he lays out another round of solitaire. It's past 11, but no one has come to kick me out. It's been 3 days since Realm came back, and night after night, I've been allowed to stay in here with him. It's strange, and I'm not sure if I should be worried or grateful. It's definitely better than being alone. Why don't they bother us? I ask.
What's that?
Realm groans and lays the cards aside.
How can I not win? I'm playing myself.
They never send me back to my room. Why? Realm stretches, raising his hands above his head.
Maybe they think we're a cute couple.
I'm serious.
And I'm tired.
His dark eyes look me over.
Come to bed with me?
I look at the door, considering going back to my room, but when my feet touch the floor and I feel its coldness even through my slipper socks, I decide to stay. I guess, I tell him, pretending like I don't want to. He rolls his eyes and holds up the blanket as I climb in next to him. He puts his arm around me, sighing as I snuggle against him. This is how we've been since he came back. He lets me stay in here, holding me close. It's been nice.
This isn't so bad, right? He asks. There are definitely worse things.
We're in the program, I remind him. I don't think it can get worse than this. Realm brushes my hair aside, his fingers running down my neck, tickling me. He continues down my spine, a feather light touch over my scrubs, and then back up again.
It can always get worse.
His other hand reaches to take my scarred wrist, and he brings it to his mouth, kissing the mark there. I swallow hard. His gesture is kind, even sexy. Realm flattens his palm on my lower back, pressing me into him. He kisses my inner forearm, my shoulder.
I could love you, Sloane, he whispers next to my ear. You don't have to be alone.
You used to love someone, Roger had told me once. What did he mean? Was there someone before the program? Realm brings his mouth close to mine, but pauses to look in my eyes as if asking permission. His feelings are so clear, so sure. I don't know what I feel right now, other than alone. So I lean forward and kiss him. Realm's lips are soft but unfamiliar, warm but not hot. My hands hesitate on the sides of his face, and I realize as his tongue touches mine that I don't feel lust or hurt or anger. I don't feel love or disgust. I feel grief. His hand slides down to pull my thigh over his hip. We could do anything right now. No one is bothering us. He lays me back in the bed, lying between my legs as he trails kisses down my neck and back up again. My eyes close, and I try to feel something other than sadness as Realm knots his fingers in my hair, murmurs how beautiful I am. His hand is cool as it slips inside my shirt, grazing my stomach before pausing at my bra. And all at once my eyes open, and I'm struck with sudden guilt. A sense of wrong so intense that I push Realm's hand away and roll out from under him. No, I say, climbing off the bed. I straighten my scrubs as I catch my breath. I can't. I can't.
I shouldn't have done that, Realm says quickly, his face reddening as he talks. I'm so sorry. Don't go, please.
I shake my head, backing away. I should sleep in my own bed tonight. I'll see you tomorrow, okay? And then without waiting for an answer, I hurry out into the hall toward my room. My heart pounds, and I feel so confused, so unsure of myself. I'm racked with guilt, and I don't even know why. I pass the nurse's station, but the young nurse doesn't ask why I'm coming out of Realm's room after hours, or what we were doing in there. She just types something into the computer and watches as I go into my room. Once I'm inside, I crawl into bed and pray for sleep. Chapter 14. I skip breakfast the next morning and avoid Realm. I'm embarrassed that I bailed like that, no explanation. I liked kissing him, he's a good kisser. But something made it feel wrong, like I shouldn't be touching him at all. I pull my legs under me as I sit on my bed, staring at the door and daring myself to leave the room. I have to face him and hope he pretends like nothing happened. He's my best friend, and I might like him as more than that, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just an idiot. Finally, gathering the courage, I walk out into the hall and check the leisure room first. Derek sees me and nods a hello as he and Shep watch TV. You guys seen Realm? I ask.
Nope, Derek says, not looking away from the screen. Think he's got an early session with Dr. Warren today.
I curl my lip. I have therapy this afternoon and I'm dreading it, although she tells me my progress has been exceptional. Not like I can remember if she was telling the truth. I head down toward the offices, wondering if I'll catch him coming out. When I get to Dr. Warren's door, it's closed, and I figure Realm might still be in there. I lean against the wall next to it to wait when I hear raised voices.
Michael, I hear Dr. Warren say. Sexual contact is not permitted. It's against the law, and we will prosecute you to the fullest extent of the... We're not sleeping together. I recognize Realm's voice, and I immediately touch my lips, scared he's in trouble. I told you, he said. I'm doing what I'm supposed to, and we kissed. That's it.
I stand outside the door, listening and worried. I didn't think they cared that Realm and I hung out, but maybe they do. Maybe they've been watching us this entire time.
Even that is crossing the line. And after your little dust-up with Roger, I don't think we can handle any more of your liability. I'm sorry, Michael. I'm going to have to send you to another facility.
No. Panic overtakes me, and I almost burst into the room to defend him, but Realm is talking again.
If you send me away now, you'll jeopardize her recovery, he says. Sloan already thinks I'm leaving next week. There's no reason to create a situation where she casts you as the bad guy. Her transformation has been remarkable, don't you think?
Tiny prickles of fear race up my arms. What's he talking about?
Yes, she's come a long way, Dr. Warren muses. Fine. You can stay the week, finish this stage of the therapy, but I'm warning you, hands off. They could bring a lawsuit against the program. You know as well as I do that physical contact can do wonders for recovery, for trust building.
Hands off, Dr. Warren repeats with a finality in her tone. She exhales. Michael, are you certain she can complete treatment? There are other options.
Sloan will return on time, Realm says. I just need a little more space to make sure the memories are cleared out. She's very fragile right now.
I stand there completely stunned as I try to wrap my mind around what I've just heard. Is Realm even a patient? I don't know what to think anymore. Did he set me up?
Fine, Dr. Warren responds. Then I guess we're done here.
Almost, Realm says in a quiet voice. I'm still next to the door when it opens suddenly. I push back against the wall, my heart pounding as Realm stalks out. He starts to leave and then pauses. I hold my breath.
Don't get caught standing there, he murmurs, not turning to me. Or they'll send you away for another 6 weeks, maybe more.
He lowers his head and then walks down the hallway. I want to run after him and ask him what's going on, make him explain. But the realization is just hitting me. Realm is working with them. He's my friend, my only friend, but it's not real. He's part of the program. Oh, God. Realm is part of the program. All this time I've confided in him, he's been passing the information to Dr. Warren, things I don't discuss in therapy. My secrets. Realm. My lip quivers at the same time my hand clenches in a fist. He's been messing with my mind. He's no better than any of them. Realm doesn't sit with me at dinner, and I don't raise my head when he passes me. A few people ask if we're fighting, but I ignore them, picking at the chicken on my tray. Realm is a plant, a fake. I could out him in front of everyone here, and this entire place would explode. But what happens after? Will they send us all through the program again? Are Derek and Shep a part of it? Anger is fighting its way past the meds in my system. I look over to where Realm is sitting with his friends, and I stand, my hands shaking. I start over, and Realm looks at me just before I reach him and jumps up. Hey, sweetness, he says, and I can see how forced his smile is as he grabs my arm hard, turning me in the other direction. Don't touch me, I hiss, yanking away from him. Realm fixes me with a warning glare and then turns back to his table.
Looks like I've moved from the doghouse to the porta potty, he says, making them laugh. I'll catch up with you guys later.
They chuckle, but I'm backing toward the door, tears gathering in my eyes. When he notices, Realm grabs me quickly into a hug, pushing my cheek against his shirt as I struggle to pull away.
Don't let them see you cry, he says quietly. I'll tell you whatever you want to know, but if they think you're breaking down, they'll keep you. I know you want to go home, Sloan.
I put my hand on his forearm, digging my nails in as hard as I can. He flinches, but he doesn't pull away. I stop, knowing that I'm hurting him and thinking that even now, I don't want to. What I want is for him to tell me that I'm wrong, that he's real and hasn't betrayed me. I sniffle and wipe my tears on his shirt before straightening up.
My man is smooth, Derek says with a laugh from behind us.
Realm looks down at me, his expression miserable. His dark eyes are so sorry, but his jaw is tight, and I don't know if I can believe any of the emotions he shows me. I'm suddenly struck with the idea that I don't know what's true anymore. Maybe I've finally snapped. Realm takes my hand and leads me toward the doorway, saying nothing. When we get there, Nurse Kell shoots Realm a worried glance.
It's fine, he says, then quieter. Can you please send the meds directly to her room? Now.
She nods, and then Realm pulls me into the hall. But instead of going to my room, he takes the turn toward his. He keeps his eyes straight ahead, his grip tight on my wrist. What are we doing? I ask, wondering if I should be scared of him. That maybe he could be as dangerous as Roger.
They can't listen here, he mumbles and brings us inside.
Realm backs me against the door as he closes it, standing with his head bent by my ear.
I know you heard, he whispers, and please believe me, I really am your friend.
I don't believe you. He puts his hands against the door on either side of my head. If anyone were to look in on us, they might think we were in some romantic against-the-door moment.
I'm a special sort of handler, he continues. I'm embedded with the other patients but was assigned specifically to you because you're difficult.
A pain rips across my chest as he confirms my worst fear, that my only friend in the world, the only one I can remember, isn't real. I've been manipulated, and I feel violated and ravaged. Realm moves closer, sliding one arm behind me as if in an embrace.
I'm so sorry, Sloan, he says, his mouth touching my ear. But I promise you, I'm only trying to help. If I didn't intervene, they were going to dig deeper. Do you know what that means? He asks. You could have been lobotomized.
I start to feel weak in his arms, and I want to lie down, but he holds me fast.
You can't fall apart now, he soothes. They're going to know something is wrong.
I look up at him then, at the scar on his neck. I don't understand, I say, my chest aching. You're one of us. He nods.
I was in the program last year, he motions to his neck, for an unfortunate incident with a serrated knife. But then I got here, got better. About halfway through, Dr. Warren pulled me aside and asked what I planned to do when I got out. I had nothing to go back for. My parents died a long time ago, and I couldn't remember any of my friends. I had nothing. So Dr. Warren offered me a job, a future within the program to rehabilitate patients. I signed a contract.
What do you do to us?
He cringes, as if knowing I won't like the answer. Form healthy relationships, re-establish connections so that subjects aren't shell-shocked when they leave. We were having relapses and meltdowns, and they determined it was from the trauma of reassimilating. Emotions are like raw nerve endings, and without some sort of preparation, it's like sending back an exposed wire.
So you weren't just pretending to be my friend? I challenge. You didn't betray me and tell them the things we talked about? Things I can't even remember anymore.
Of course I had to tell them, he says. I had to make sure the therapy was taking. And believe me, sweetness, you wouldn't want to walk around with half memories anyway. You could go crazy.
I yank my hands from his and push him back.
And kissing me? Was that part of my rehabilitation?
I'm embarrassed saying it, feeling cheated somehow. Used.
Realm shakes his head. No, it wasn't. I shouldn't have done that.
Then why did you?
Realm lowers his eyes. I care about you. I'm lonely too. Just because I'm not a patient doesn't mean that I don't feel the same isolation you guys do. I've been here 5 weeks, Sloan. I want to leave. And I want to take you with me.
I push him again, backing him to the bed. He doesn't try and protect himself. The thought that Realm could have left at any point while I was held against my will makes me hate him.
Roger? I ask suddenly. Was he a part of this too?
No, Realm says. I mean, he used to be, but not anymore. He had no right to do the things he did.
I didn't know, I swear.
Yes, because your word means so much now.
I didn't, Sloan. I would have done anything to protect you.
Is that before or after you helped them erase my life? Do you think I can forgive that? Do you think I can ever get over that?
I hope so, he says. He stops, and his pale skin is even more white than usual, like he might get sick. I have nothing. And this is the first time I thought I might be able to build a life again. When I leave here, I'll have 6 weeks off before returning to the program at a different facility. I'm under contract for 2 years, a contract I can't break or they'll erase everything about me. I'm trying to save both of us, and I thought that once you were released, we could be together. I laugh. I know it's cruel, but I don't care. I'm so hurt that I want to be mean. I want him to know what he's done to me. Well, I say, that's never going to happen. Your contract might end sooner than you think because it doesn't look like my therapy is going to take, Michael. I growl his name. Realm grabs my wrists hard then, pulling me toward him. Don't say that. You're getting out of here. But you don't leave by fighting. They'll never let you out that way. I scoff. What do I have to do then? Kiss you until I'm released? He drops his arms. No, and I understand if you don't want to talk to me anymore. Please believe me when I say that wasn't part of this. I kissed you because I wanted to. You're strong and smart, and you make me want to live, Sloane. He looks in my eyes. But you can't tell anyone about this. You'll compromise me. There's a loud knock at the door, and we both jump. I wipe again quickly at my face as Realm's eyes flick between me and the door. The handle turns, and Nurse Kel pops her head in. I have your medication, dears, she says, her voice sickly sweet. Her shoulders are rigid, and I think that she's been looking for us for a while. Take it, Realm murmurs to me as he grabs the cup the nurse is holding out to him. He dips his chin to her in appreciation, and I reach for the other cup on the tray. My hands are shaking so badly, I'm sure Nurse Kel has to notice. I stare down into the Dixie cup, but don't take the white pill. Instead, I look back at Realm defiantly. His expression weakens, as if begging me. No, I tell Nurse Kel. I'm fine without it tonight. I put the cup back on the tray and turn, walking across the room to stand by Realm's side table. My entire body is pulsing with anger and hatred. I'm going to tear this fucking place apart. I hear Realm whisper something to her, but I don't turn to look. They can both go to hell. Dr. Warren can go to hell. I don't even want to get out anymore. I just want to take them down. Okay, then, Nurse Kel says with a forced cheerfulness. Everyone else is in the leisure room if you care to join them. We'll be out in a second, Realm answers. I look over then and see him watching me, his brow creased with concern. Nurse Kel bites her lip and then backs out, leaving us alone again. What was in the medication? I ask. He looks defeated. Something to relax you. And what was in yours, Michael? Same as always. Sugar pill. I cross the room and slap him. My palm stings as it connects with his cheek. He flinches from the pain and then turns fiercely and grabs me by my shoulders, backing me hard against the wall as I gasp. A red handprint is obvious on his face, and he's exhaling quickly, like he's about to lose it on me. Hit me, I snarl. I dare you to throw me down and report me, because there is no way in hell I'll let you get away with this. I lean close to his face. I'll tell everyone. The anger in Realm's expression fades, his grip loosens. We're against each other, breathing heavily. But instead of turning me in, Realm puts his mouth over mine and kisses me hard. I try to yank away at first, but in his lips is intensity and passion. It's a sort of comfort that I've missed. Despite everything that's happened, this feels real. And I need something to be real after all the lies. I stop fighting. And just as I let his tongue touch mine, something pierces my thigh. I cry out and push Realm back. He's holding a needle, fluid still dripping from the tip. His eyes start watering. I'm so sorry. He whispers. I can't let them erase me.
What did you do?
I cry out, completely stunned and horrified.
Realm, what did you just do?
I had to, Sloane. He holds out his hand to me, but I slap it away and rush past him.
Don't touch me!
I scream, pulling open his door.
I'm scared he's going to follow me, so I try to hurry to my room. But I'm only halfway down the hall when I feel the first wave of medication crash over me. I stumble forward, not sure how I'm going to make it to my bed. This is like the effect of the yellow pill that Dr. Warren gives me, only stronger. I suddenly think that the program is going to kill me for finding out about Realm. That Realm is going to kill me. I stagger in my doorway and then fall, my knee hitting the white floor hard. I'm on my hands and knees, the room tipping from side to side in front of me as I crawl toward the safety of my bed. "Sloan," I hear, and then arms are around my waist, helping me up. I turn my head lazily to the side and see Realm. "No," I say, trying to fight him off. "Leave me alone." But the words are slurred on my lips as he leads me to the bed. "I'm sorry, it's the only way. I swear it's the only way."
"What have you done?"
I ask, although I'm not sure if he can understand me as sleep starts to drown me like rushing river water. "I can't let you remember," he murmurs, helping me into bed and then climbing in next to me, holding me protectively in his arms even as I struggle weakly. He's still talking, but his voice is fading out, fading over me. "Or I'll never get out."
"I'll tell everyone," I try to say, but I can't keep my eyes open. "I'll tell everyone."
And then Realm's gone. And so am I. Chapter 15. My eyes flutter open, and I cover my face with my forearm, blocking out the light from the overhead fluorescence. My head is pounding, feeling thick with sleep. When the fog starts to clear, I look to my side table and the clock reads almost 10. The room smells like toast, and I find the cart on the other side with a covered tray. The food is probably long cold by now. Why didn't anyone wake me? I slip on my robe, wondering where everyone is. I pause at my door before going out into the hall. There's a young nurse at the station typing on her computer, and from the leisure room I can hear the TV. Everything seems normal, and yet I'm confused.
"Ah, you're awake."
I jump and turn to see Nurse Kell walking toward me from the other direction, smiling broadly.
"You weren't feeling well today, so we let you sleep in. Did you want me to get you a snack, honey?"
"Not feeling well?" I look down the hallway as Derek walks by, saluting me and greeting. "I'm..." Pushing my hair away from my face, I think back to yesterday. But I can't find anything there. "What day is it?" I ask. Nurse Kell smiles like the question isn't even odd.
"It's Saturday. And the sun is finally out if you'd like to go out to the garden."
"What?" I'm stunned by her statement, never having been let outside before.
"Saturday? It's Friday, isn't it? I'm sure it's Friday." "No, honey, but you were running a fever yesterday and we had to medicate you, so I'm not surprised you don't remember."
My mind starts to race then, and I know that they've done something to my memory. I keep my face calm, but Nurse Kell can see what I'm thinking. I want to scream. I want to punch her. I want them out of my head. What did they erase this time? Whatever it is, it wasn't theirs to take.
"Where's Realm?" I ask. "He's playing cards in the other room."
She brushes my hair off my shoulder, her face a portrait of concern.
"You go see him, and I'll get you some clean clothes for your shower. You should really take it easy today."
I want to slap her hand away from me, but instead I just turn and hurry toward the leisure room. When I get inside, Realm immediately looks up, smiling around the pretzel cigar in his mouth.
"Hey, sweetness, didn't think you'd ever get up."
"I need to talk to you," I say, shifting uneasily from foot to foot. Realm's face drops and he yanks out the pretzel and tosses down his cards.
Hey,
Shep calls, but Realm is stalking toward me. He takes my arm, lowering his head.
What is it? Are you okay?
He whispers, studying my eyes. I cling to Realm, pressing my face against his chest.
They did something to me,
I say. His body is stiff at first, but then he relaxes around me, gently stroking my hair.
How so?
I can't remember yesterday. A whole day. They won't leave me alone,
I tell him, and I feel the tears wet on my cheek, on his shirt.
Sloane, you were sick. Why do you think they did something to you?
I just know.
I knot my hands in the back of Realm's shirt, keeping him there, not caring as his friends call out to us, telling us to get a room. Not caring that I can feel the stares of the nurses. Nobody breaks us up, though, and Realm wipes my tears with his thumbs.
Want to go outside?
He asks, a small smile on his face.
They told me you earned some garden time.
Why?
For being a good girl. He grins. Kidding, you're getting close to release time. Everyone gets to go out when that happens.
Not you.
Realm looks away.
Wait, I say. You could go outside all this time?
He nods, and I scoff.
Well, why haven't you?
I ask.
You should be getting fresh air, not be trapped in here.
I was waiting for you,
he says with a shrug. A smile pulls at my lips as I think Realm's entirely sweet, that he cares about me.
You're an idiot, I say, but that's what I like about you.
The thought of actual sunlight fills me with so much hope that I jog toward my room to get into fresh scrubs. I'm going outside.
This is really beautiful,
I say as we walk down the rows of flowers. The gravel pathway crunches under my sneakers, and in the light, true sunlight, Realm's black hair is a sharp contrast to his skin. I think he'd look better as a blonde.
Hold hands? He asks.
No, I like my freedom,
I say absently, looking over the expansive lawn. I wonder if I could escape, but I see a tall iron fence just beyond the neat row of trees. My heart sinks just a little. Realm is kicking at the rocks as we walk, and he seems down.
What's wrong?
I ask. He looks at me, startled.
Oh, nothing. I was just thinking about when I'm out.
Soon.
He nods.
Yep.
He turns to me then, stopping me in the path.
What are you going to do when you're out, Sloane? Who's the first person you want to see?
He smiles then, that adorable smile that makes me feel like we're sharing secrets. Only out here it doesn't seem so infectious. I'm not sure how to answer because when I think of home, all I can see are my parents. A few random faces pop up, but they're just classmates, none of them my friends. The loneliness once again overwhelms me, and I stagger back. Realm catches my arm and straightens me.
Hey, he says. You okay? Did you remember something?
No, I whisper. And that's the problem. I don't remember anything anymore.
Realm meets my eyes.
Do you remember me?
Of course, but I don't know if they're going to take you, too.
They won't.
I watch as he lowers his head, the black hair dye too dark, fake.
How do you know?
I ask. His throat clicks as he swallows, but then he glances up, smiling.
Because you couldn't forget me, Sloane. I'm way too awesome.
I laugh, but it's out of obligation. His joke doesn't cheer me up or set me at ease. I don't like the way he looks in the light. Everything around me is too sharply focused. I motion back toward the building. I want to go inside, I say, turning and heading back. Realm runs to catch up with me, surprised, I'm sure.
Sloane,
he asks carefully. Are you mad at me?
I furrow my brow. No, why do you ask?
You just don't seem to like me anymore.
I consider taking his hand then, but I don't. I keep walking and he falls behind a little. I have no idea how to explain to Realm that, in the light, he's not what I thought he was. That I do feel different today. About him. About everything. I'm not quite sure why, but more than ever, I'm desperate to go home.
I'm going to play this game, beat the program. I'm going to get out of here.
Realm is practically glued to my side at lunch. Under the harsh fluorescence, he looks more himself. And yet, I sense that something is off. Every time he touches my arm or tries to take my hand, I shrink away. He doesn't ask again if I like him, but I see the question in his eyes. I leave him and decide to take a long shower, the nurses allowing it, although one of them stays in the bathroom with me. I must be in there almost a half hour because my skin is pruned and I'm exhausted from the heat. Everything about today is wrong. My new freedom, my changed feelings. I almost skip dinner, but I'm hungry, so I go downstairs. At the last minute, I decide to sit with Tabitha, ignoring Realm as he waits at our table. I can't make sense of my emotions, of how I want to stay away from my only real friend.
So, are you and Realm, like, broken up? Tabitha asks, poking her spork into her cube steak.
Her hair is a shiny brunette, the red long gone. She hardly looks like the same person, but she seems healthier. Even her short-term memory seems restored.
We weren't dating, I say, not glancing up.
Yeah, right. He follows you around like a puppy, and you don't seem to mind.
She pauses and smiles.
So, can I take a shot at him?
There's a turn in my stomach, and I'm not sure if it's jealousy or some sort of worry.
Go ahead, but he leaves in less than a week. Quick romance.
I'm just looking to have sex.
I laugh and look up at her, but she just grins at me.
I knew that would get your attention.
I hope you're kidding. I'm still smiling as I put a green bean in my mouth.
Tabitha stares past me at Realm, making kissy faces to his back as he faces away. Something about this moment is authentic, and I like it.
Hey, I ask her. Wanna play cards with us later?
Tabitha beams.
Seriously? You're inviting me to hang with the cool kids?
She's trying to sound sarcastic, but her expression tells me she's thrilled to be included.
You are hereby inducted into the club, I say. And then, just to make it official, we cheers our cartons of milk.
Chapter 16. Bullshit, Sloan, Realm calls as I sit across from him. My mouth twitches with a smile.
No way.
Show the cards. Realm narrows his eyes like he thinks I'll cheat. I look around the table at Tabitha, who's giggling behind her hand, and Shep and Derek as they yell for me to flip my hand. I roll my eyes and turn them over. Realm crosses his arms over his chest, looking impressed.
Three queens, I say.
Can't believe you really had it, Shep says, laughing as he slides the cards toward Realm. When Realm picks them up, he looks me over, studying my expression. Guess I can't tell when you're lying, he says quietly.
Guess you can't.
I smile.
I knew she was telling the truth, Tabitha says, looking proud.
Did not, Shep argues. I continue to grin as we start the next hand, and I feel normal. Maybe the most normal I've felt since coming to the program. My medications have been cut down, and my weight has stabilized. The fog that's been with me since the beginning is gone.
This is real.
When I look up, I see Realm watching me,
his head tilted to the side. Just like in the garden, he seems a little sad, but I don't know why.
You think he'd be happy to be leaving the program.
He should be happy to be almost home. Over the next few days, Tabitha wins every hand of bullshit, even catches me lying once. I can't help but think that none of us should be in here. We're normal. No one's talking about suicide or crying. When I see the new patients come in, they're a mess, sobbing and fighting. We're a world apart from them now, and I can't imagine that I was ever like that. I'm sitting in my room reading a magazine when there's a knock at my door. It opens slowly and Realm pops his head in.
Hey, he says quietly.
I smile. Hey. Realm enters, shutting the door behind him before taking a seat next to my bed, chewing on his lip. he clears his throat.
I'm leaving tomorrow, Sloan.
There's a heavy pain in my chest. Oh. We stare at each other for a long minute, and then I hold up my arms and Realm climbs onto the bed to hug me. We stay like that for a long time before he sniffles and wipes his face.
This is the first time I've seen you cry,
I say, my own voice choked up.
Can I ask you something, Sloan?
Realm's voice is low, like he's not sure he should.
Of course.
He pauses.
Can we see each other again after all of this is over?
I furrow my brow, thinking it's a strange question to ask, that of course I would see him again. But inside, I feel doubt that maybe I didn't intend to find Realm, like there's something holding me back from him. When I don't answer right away, he nods, a tear sliding down the side of his nose.
I should go, he says. I've got to get back to the boys. They're having a going-away party for me.
And I wasn't invited? I ask, not wanting Realm to leave. I feel terrible, like I'm a bad friend to him.
Sorry, sweetness, he says. Guys only.
Realm stands, but I reach out to take his arm, stopping him from walking away. He pauses, looking down at the floor as if he's afraid to turn to me. I climb out of bed and pull him into a hug, resting my cheek against his chest. I'll miss you, I say. I'll miss you madly. Realm squeezes me tightly then, his arm clasped around me.
I'll miss you too.
And when he pulls back, I give him a soft peck on the lips, hoping it's enough, hoping it shows how much I care. But by the sad smile on his face, I know it's not. So I let him leave. The nurse gives me permission to take one last walk with Realm, so we go out to the garden. It's sunny and bright, and I think again how beautiful the flowers look. Realm's ride will be here in less than a half hour, and then he'll be gone. I reach out to take his hand, surprised by how cool it is. He bumps his shoulder into mine, and we walk a little longer. Tabitha is leaving on Monday, I tell him. She's got her new haircuts, new clothes. Shep's getting a new style, too, and hopefully some deodorant. I look sideways at Realm and drop his hand.
How come they didn't make you over?
Maybe there isn't anything to improve on.
I laugh. Well, Dr. Warren says that the return is easier if we freshen up our looks. I think she might be right. I'm thinking of straightening my hair.
Realm reaches up suddenly, holding a handful of my curls. No, he says. Your hair's beautiful. He shrugs. You're beautiful.
I blush, but then back away, letting my hair fall from his palm. Realm kicks at some pebbles on the path.
Sloan, if things were different, if we weren't in the program, do you think we could be together?
Prickles race up my skin, and I'm sure that I don't know the answer. Realm steps closer and puts his hands on my bare upper arms.
I could take care of you if you want, he says. And when you get out of here, I'd be there.
I don't want anyone to take care of me, I say. I want to figure out how to take care of myself. I don't even know who I am anymore.
I know you, he says, sounding somber, and I'd do anything for you, even if you can't understand why right now. He watches me for a long moment, no doubt trying to see if I feel something for him other than friendship.
I wonder then how I'll know when I'm in love, especially if I don't know what it feels like. Have I ever been in love before? Did anyone love me back?
If you look for me, Sloane, Realm says, I'll be waiting.
I'm suddenly choked up, and I lean into a hug, closing my eyes tightly. Thank you for everything, Realm. Thank you for...
Michael!
A voice calls out. We separate. Nurse Kel is waving to him from across the lawn, a blonde woman in dark sunglasses beside her.
Realm stiffens next to me, and his hands fall away. He meets my eyes one more time and kisses my forehead. Then he moves to pause by my ear.
They'll still watch you, he whispers. They'll look for signs.
Signs of what?
Fear streaks through me. I'll help you any way I can, he continues. Don't forget that.
I think it's a crazy thing to tell someone in the program, don't forget. That's what we're here for. Forgetting is how we've all gotten better.
Tears fall down my cheeks as Realm backs away, looking helplessly at me as he does. When he turns around, his sneakers crunch the gravel. I watch him walk out of the program and out of my life. It's a little over a week later when I'm sitting in Dr. Warren's office, my hair newly cut and straightened. The mess of dark curls are now smooth and reach just below my chin. She smiles the minute she sees me.
You look fantastic, Sloane, she says. You have truly been a model patient.
I nod as if I'm thanking her, but in truth, I don't remember any of our sessions beyond the final few. We spent our last meetings piecing together my memories. She reminds me of the sequence of events because it occasionally gets jumbled in my head. She fills in the things I can't remember, like about my family.
You'll be happy to know that the program has a 100% survival rate and that very few of our subjects ever relapse. But there are some precautions you'll have to take. There will be weekly doctor visits for the first month, then bi-monthly until the final evaluation in 3 months. You'll have access to therapy and medication if you need it, but it won't be forced unless you start to exhibit symptoms again. For the first week, we ask that you take the supplied relaxant, just to help with the transition to your new school. You are not allowed to fraternize in any serious way with non-returners. Although you're cured, you are still considered high risk pending your final evaluation. After that, you're free to talk to whomever you want.
Her mouth twitches, and for a second, I don't think that she means it. But I'm so close to going home now, I don't mention it. I just nod.
Dr. Warren purses her lips and puts her elbows on her desk, leaning forward.
We want you to live, Sloane, she says. We want you to have a full, happy life. We've given you the best chance possible by removing the infected memories. Now it's up to you. But no, if you get sick again, you will be flagged, and then you'll be required to stay in the program until you're 18.
I swallow hard, thinking that my birthday is still 7 months away. That would be a long time to be stuck here, especially without Realm.
I understand, I tell her.
Good. She looks relieved as she straightens. You'll have a handler assigned to you for the first few weeks, helping you out at school and accompanying you outside of your house. This is a precaution because of your fragile state. Take it easy, Sloane. Don't push yourself too hard.
I'll try my best, I say, looking at the clock on the wall and knowing that my parents will be here any minute. I'm leaving. I'm really leaving. Dr. Warren stands then, walking around her desk to embrace me. We hug awkwardly, and when she lets me go, she rests her hand on my shoulder. At first, she says, almost in a whisper, you may be a little distant, a little numb, but that will eventually go away. You will feel again. I meet her eyes, doing a quick evaluation of my emotions. I'm complacent and calm, but I wonder how I should really feel. There's a quick knock at the door, and Dr. Warren says to come in. Nurse Kell stands there, her cheeks rosy. Your parents are here, Sloane. She beams, looking proud. And the boys wanted me to give you this. She holds out a small, wrapped package, and my eyes water. Why didn't they give it to me themselves? I ask, walking over to take it from her hands. Both Derek and Shep are still here, but Dr. Warren promised me they'd be going home soon. She laughs. Because they said you would probably cry. I unwrap the paper and smile at what's inside. It's a deck of cards, but the back design says bullshit. I reach out to hug Nurse Kell. Tell them thank you for me. It's all so surreal. I stand for a moment looking around the office, the time I spent in here a complete fog. I don't know what I was like before, but I feel okay now. I guess the program works. I say goodbye to Dr. Warren and follow Nurse Kell out, a handler trailing us with a small duffel bag. I don't remember what I wore when I came into the facility, but the program has provided me with a few outfits, ones I didn't pick out, to send me home with. Right now I'm wearing a yellow polo shirt, the collar stiff and itchy. The halls are empty, but I hear a spirited game of cards being played in the leisure room, new members taking our places. When we get out onto the lawn, I see my dad's Volvo parked near the gate. He steps out, my mother scrambling to get to his side. I pause, looking at them from afar. Good luck, Sloane, Nurse Kell says, brushing my hair behind my ear. Stay healthy. I nod to her and look at the handler who tells me to go ahead. And then I run across the grass. When I get close enough, my father rushes forward, swooping me up into his arms, tears streaming down his face. Soon my mother is hugging both of us, and we're all crying. I've missed them. Missed my dad's smile and my mom's laugh. Dad, I say when I can finally pry myself away from him. First things first, let's get ice cream, I say. I haven't had any since I've been here. He laughs, a painful sort of sound, as if he's been waiting to do it for a long time. Anything, sweetheart. We're just so happy to have you home. My mother touches adoringly at my hair. I love this, she says earnestly, as if she hasn't seen me in years. You look just beautiful. Thanks, Mom. I hug her again. My father takes my bags from the handler and puts them in the trunk as I have one last look back at the building, back at the program. Something catches my eye and my smile fades. There's a girl in the window, sitting on a chair with her arms wrapped around her knees. She's pretty and blonde, but she looks lonely, desperate. And I can't help thinking that she reminds me of someone.
Here we go. My father says, opening the back door for me.
I tear my eyes away from the window and climb into the car, the smell of it bringing me back to the times when Brady and I used to argue over who got to pick the radio station. My brother's gone now, but we've made peace with that. Our family got through it, and now we're all better. I'm better. My parents climb into the car, glancing back at me as if they expect me to disappear at any moment, and I smile. I'm going home. Part 3. Wish You Weren't Here. Chapter 1.
I had trouble sleeping the first night home. The house was too quiet, the sounds in my head too loud. I missed Realm, missed playing cards with the boys. I missed the freedom and the restrictions of the facility. In a weird way, I'd been on my own. After we'd stopped for ice cream, my mother came home and cooked a big dinner, chatting away about what I'd missed. Apparently, the program has been picked up in 3 more states, and France and Germany are adapting their own versions. I wasn't quite sure how to feel about that, so I stayed silent. The minute I wake up the next morning, my mother is waiting with a tiny white pill that Dr. Warren prescribed to help me get through my day, to relax me. As I sit at the kitchen table, my mother flips pancakes, humming a song I can't quite place. My father has left for work. I sit at the small, round table and stare at the empty seat my brother used to claim. I almost feel that at any second, he'll come bounding into the kitchen asking for Lucky Charms. But Brady's dead. Dr. Warren told me that his accidental death was traumatic for me, so they had to erase it. Now I don't even know what happened to my brother. In my head, it's like he was here, and then he was gone with nothing in between. At the end of my therapy at the program, Dr. Warren tried to help me line up my memories sequentially, filling in some of the blanks. She said my family was devastated by my brother's death, but now that I'm cured, we're all okay. I don't remember a time when we weren't okay, so I'm glad. I hate the idea of not having my family. When my mother, still smiling, puts food in front of me, I thank her. But the thought of eating is far from my mind. Dr. Warren had said that I wouldn't know anyone at Sumter High, that they would have been erased even if I had known them because they were infected too. So I'm starting over. It's like a new life. It's like a new me. When Kevin, my handler, shows up, he's polite and almost kind on my front porch. I have a sense that I should be uncomfortable around him, but he takes my backpack from me and holds the door. So I chalk it up to the confused feelings that Dr. Warren predicted. Kevin looks to be just a little older than I am, but we don't say much as he drives us to Sumter. But then again, my head feels too foggy to ask anything relevant. I think it's the medication. When we get there, I see that Sumter is a large, white building, sort of intimidating. Kevin parks in the back lot, taking a minute to radio in that I've arrived. Several students walk past us toward the entrance, some laughing, some alone, and I wonder if I've met them before. A feeling of déjà vu creeps over me, and I look away, feeling unsettled. "Are you okay?" Kevin asks, startling me. I glance sideways at him and see that his light eyebrows are pulled together in concern. I'm not sure who to confide in, what's even real, but he's the only one here. "Anxious," I say, like I'm unglued. "Is that normal?" Kevin's expression doesn't change. "It is normal for you, yes, but that feeling will fade in a couple of weeks. Right now your mind is repairing itself. You'll have echoes, a space between memories that will make you feel hollow. But they will fill in. Medication can help with the transition." His words don't comfort me, and instead I feel a tiny twinge of sadness. But just as soon as it's there, it's like warm water is splashed inside my chest. "Whoa," I say, putting my hand over my heart. "That's the inhibitor," Kevin says. "It relieves the panic. You should probably take another before going to class." He gets a pill box from the center console and pinches out a white pill before extending it to me. I take it from him, staring down at it while he hands me a bottle of water. "So this feeling will go away?" I ask, just to make sure. There are competing emotions, and it's hard to tell which are mine and which belong to the medication. "Yes," Kevin says, "you will regulate."